I'm expecting a couple of my friends that I met on my travels to actually tune in live today, which is pretty cool. We've had a few conversations via Facebook in which I've invited some of my friends to come and to join us. So we'll see if they show up or not. But if you guys are there and you are tuning in live, welcome. Good to see you there. And we pray that the Lord will really touch your hearts wherever you're at. The congregation here just wants to yell out a hello to all of you. You guys want to just yell hello? Cool. I want you guys to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter 1. And that's where we're going to start today. Romans chapter 1 is where we're headed, and we're going to read from verses 16 and 17. Just a short little passage today. And I have this feeling that should our friends tune in today, today's going to be a very special day for them. And I've had this just this burning desire in my heart to preach the gospel message and to just share the good news of Jesus Christ in a way that that maybe some of you sitting in the room have heard before, but it's good to hear it again, right? So Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul's writing to the church in Rome, whom he has never met, at least not in the context of a church. He's met many of these people privately and in his travels, but he has never yet been to Rome when he writes this letter. This is what he says: I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Lord, as we open your word, I thank you that your word has power to touch every heart and to bring healing and deliverance and salvation to us. We ask, Father, that you would speak through my stories and through our discovery of the word in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you know, I took a wonderful trip overseas for the last couple of weeks, and I've had quite the adventure. You guys interested to hear about that? I want to tell some stories today, and I'm going to take you on a little journey. I brought my iPad with me. I've got some pictures. Those of you who are watching on Facebook won't be able to see the pictures, but the people in the congregation can. So you'll just have to take my word at it if you can't see it. All right. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put this microphone here so I can have hands free. Is that okay? Greg, should I use the other microphone or just carry on using this one? This one's fine, right? Okay. All right. That's going to work. So, iPad, technology, woohoo! Okay, let's see. Here we go. I am going to, first of all, connect us so you can see what I'm looking at. Let's go to screen, sanctuary. Oh, the wireless signal is too weak. Well, let's see if we can change that. What I can do is I can stand over there and talk to you. Interesting. Okay, those of you who are watching Facebook Live, just look at the cross on the wall. I'm moving over here. And let's see if we can get this to connect. I'm getting closer to Greg at the back here, and we're going to take a look at some pictures. Aha. Oops, that's not what I wanted to do. Okay. All right, I'm connected, and you should be able to see me. Let's see if we can get that. Okay. All right, there's my world. I'm going to walk up front and see if it loses the connection, Greg. Yeah, hopefully it'll stay. Okay. We'll know for sure if it starts moving when I touch it. Is that world moving? Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's take a look. This is where I started out my journey in North America. And got on a plane and took me right over the St. Lawrence Bay, which is right there, and up over the Labrador Sea, up over Greenland. And I went, literally flew up over the North Pole, which is really pretty cool. Never done that before. And I didn't even know that they had flight paths that did that. So I watched the tracking on the airplane. You know, they have the little seat thing there, and you can see where you're going. And I checked it on my watch as well. My watch has a little GPS in it. And sure enough, man, we were flying literally over the North Pole. You're not going to believe this, Jason, but we actually flew right over Siberia. And we flew right over top of Norilsk, which is that city that Tammy and I ministered in a couple of years ago. Couldn't believe it. I looked out of the window, and I was looking literally down on Norilsk, and the sun was just rising. I don't think the sun rises for more than about a minute at that point in January up in the north there. But we flew right over Norilsk, so I had Wi-Fi access on the plane. I sent a quick text message or message to my friends in Norilsk. I'm like, look up. I'm flying over your head. And anyway, so we flew over that, and then we flew down over Russia, over Mongolia, okay, into China. We flew right over China. It was amazing. I was taking snapshots of China from the air. It was really kind of cool. One thing I noticed about China is that they don't have the same aversion to windmills that we do here on Cape Cod. You know that whole Nantucket Sound wind thing that we shut down? Well, in China, they put windmills on the tops of every mountain. And so literally, I'm looking out from the as we're flying over at 35,000 feet or whatever it is, I'm looking down at mountaintops, and I couldn't even count the number of massive windmills on the top of every peak. And they're all supplying power to China. It was phenomenal. And obviously, they don't have quite the same the same, you know, sort of nature lover thing going on there, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, so... So we flew to Guangzhou, China, and in Guangzhou, we arrived, actually, as it turned out, we arrived a little bit late because there had been a snowstorm in New York before I left. Boston, it was snowing like crazy on Cape. The plane needed to be de-iced in Boston, needed to be de-iced in New York, and then by the time we arrived in Guangzhou, China, we were late. So I got off the plane, and they were like, you need to run, buddy. And so one of the China Southern flight attendant, you know, people who met me at the gate, they grabbed my bag, and they just took off running through the airport. I'm like, I better follow that bag right now, or I'm never going to see it again. So I'm racing through the airport as fast as I can. And you know what? It's all fine and well for this 19-year-old spry young Chinese man who's sprinting down, and he's like, you know, it's like Chariots of Fire, and for the first 20 yards or so, I was okay. I was right there with him, and after that, it wasn't so much fun. Anyway, eventually he slowed down so I could catch up. It took me about half an hour to catch him, and we arrived at the gate as the plane was pulling away. And so I'm standing there at the window, just watching the plane, my plane to Penang, just going. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm stuck in China. I wonder why, And at that moment, a couple of other passengers who were also on the same flight, also going to Penang, they showed up. They were also panting, trying to keep up with the running. And so our 19-year-old semi-English talking Chinese guy from China Southern Airlines was apologizing profusely, and I decided that I wasn't going to be angry. And because, as it turns out, there are no delays and no accidental delays in the Lord's timing. God knows exactly where we're supposed to be at all times. And so we have an invitation when something like this happens to say, all right, Lord, you're changing up the plans, obviously for a reason. This is a cool adventure. And so I just decided that I would set the pace for everybody. The others were a little miserable, I'm not going to lie, but I decided that I would make it fun. So I got to know the guy who was, you know, thanked him for, you know, giving me some good exercise after 16 hours on the plane. And we laughed a lot, and we went on down. It took us to a place where we were quarantined. That's the big word that they use over there, quarantine. I felt so welcome in China. And they took our passports and our boarding passes, and they were like, you just stay right here, and this may take a while. So we're just kind of sitting there, and we decided just to have some conversation. I asked these two other people who had traveled with me from America, you know, what they were there for, where they were going, and so forth. One of them, his name is Muhammad. No guesses as to his religion right there. And the other, Patricia, who was, Muhammad's actually from Connecticut, and Patricia is from Penang, and Patricia was returning home. Her daughter goes to college in New York. Muhammad was going to a wedding in Penang. His friends are doing these, I guess, one of the big rages now is destination weddings. So they chose Penang as the destination for their wedding, and so he was going to visit his friends and during their wedding. So we had a grand time. We just started laughing, chatting, talking about stuff. And I thought, this is kind of funny because Patricia is a Buddhist. Muhammad is a Muslim, and I'm a Christian. So a Muslim, a Buddhist, and a Christian are all trapped together in the airport. And I just thought this was a great joke, you know. So we decided to have some fun. And so the China Southern Airlines, I asked them, you know, could you at least, if we're going to be here for 24 hours on this delay, could we perhaps have, you know, access to the executive lounge, maybe take a shower? And so they said, well, there's no executive lounge. That's odd. I'm sure every airport has an executive lounge. But anyway, that's okay. Well, is there anything, you know, could you perhaps? They said, well, we could get you a hotel. And we're going to try and get you on a flight to Singapore and on a different airline and then transfer you from Singapore to Penang. We'll get you there. You'll go tonight. So we're there at, I think, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and the flight to Singapore was to leave at midnight. So they said, we'll get you into a hotel, and you can have 3 hours in the hotel. So they stamped our passports, and I got to actually go into China without a visa, which is pretty cool. And so we spent 3 hours at a hotel. I took a shower, and, you know, we didn't actually get a meal or anything. There really wasn't a whole lot of time for that. Went back to the airport, and we just had a good old time just talking about life. And I wanted to talk to these guys about Jesus so much. But the moment I told them that I was a pastor, you could just see the kind of wash over their faces, you know. So I thought, well, okay, I'm not going to clam them up. We'll just keep talking. So I asked them all about their lives. I asked them about their families. I asked them about their business, their careers. And we laughed and talked and joked around about stuff. We bought food. Patricia bought me a sandwich. I bought them coffee. We had a grand old time. We ended up in Singapore in the airport together and talking about a little bit about Muhammad's religion, because there were a bunch of Muslims that were praying at the prayer hour in the airport in Singapore, and Muhammad didn't join them. And so I said, oh, you know, I'm interested. Are you, you know, is your faith just nominal? You know, obviously your parents were true believers. They called you Muhammad. So, but, you know, is this just something that you've kind of rejected as part of faith? He said, no. When we're traveling, we get an exemption. And so we kind of talked about religion a little bit. But in my heart, I just knew, okay, so I'm not going to be able to preach the gospel to these guys specifically. But I know that I can live out the joy of the Lord in front of them. And it's one thing that I've noticed people in the world are really lacking. Real joy. You know? I mean, the kind of joy that makes you happy when you miss a flight. And so we ended up having this amazing time. So, and then we went from Guangzhou, and they flew us down to Malaysia. Okay, so here's Malaysia, and I'm just going to grow it up for you a little bit. It's going to get fuzzy, but Singapore, you can see Singapore down the bottom there. Singapore is its own little country. It's a city, but it's also a country. And so we flew into Singapore. Amazing airlines, amazing airport, just a crazy place. And then we flew from there to Penang, and I'd missed about a day, but when I arrived in Penang, there was Charlie Curtis to meet me. You guys know Charlie Curtis, and so let me just skip out of this, and I'll show you some pictures of Charlie Curtis. And okay, here we go. Let's see, Southeast Asia. So here's my trip. This is the Lake Baikal, and flying over Siberia, and Lake Baikal is just this huge, amazing lake. It's all frozen over. And then we flew over Mongolia. Anyway, this is Muhammad and Patricia, and that's the airport in Guangzhou. We are no longer in quarantine. Here's Charlie Curtis picking me up in Georgetown, Penang, and that's him right there. And so he drove me. We had a grand old time. We chatted for a good hour. I felt like $1 million. I was feeling so charged up from my adventure with Patricia and Muhammad. And then I just said to him, well, Charlie, you don't mind if I just take like a half an hour nap? 12 hours later, I woke up. So anyway, this is the view. This is the view from the apartment. It's really pretty amazing view. I was expecting sort of mud huts and stuff, but it was concrete jungle the whole way. So anyway, here's this beautiful view. And as you can see, there's like a quaint fishing village down here. These are fishing boats down in there. Can you see that? And this over here is a mosque. And it's reasonably high, reasonably tall, and it's pretty loud. They start the call to prayer at 5:15 a.m. And they have another one at 6:15, and then the sunrise is at 7:20. And so they have two calls to prayer before the sunrise, and at sunrise another call to prayer, and then they start preaching. And they broadcast their sermon, and the guy doesn't preach a short sermon. I just want you to know, you guys are really blessed by being at Living Hope Family Church, where the pastor preaches a really short sermon, right? So, so anyway, that's a beautiful view from there. And so I got to hear this call to prayer every morning, and it's kind of haunting, the sort of pentatonic melodies of the call to prayer. But every time the guy would start the call to prayer, they have these local cuckoos, these birds that start singing. The guy starts doing this call to prayer, and the cuckoos start singing, and they're loud, and they sound like they're mocking. It's really strange. No sooner does the guy start than all the cuckoos think, okay, now it's time to sing. So it's cacophony of cuckoos. Anyway, it was really quite interesting. There's the same view at night, so really quite beautiful stuff. Anyway, Saturday morning arrives, and I get to do this worship seminar with a bunch of young people and worship leaders from the church in Penang, but also from other places in mainland Malaysia. This is a bunch of medical students. They're all part of a university Bible study group, and they're all worship leaders. They're all studying to be doctors, all of these kids. And this fellow on the on what is your left all the way over, this guy right here, he's kind of the leader of this group. He is not studying to be a doctor, but he found all these kids and began to teach them about the Lord. And they're guitarists, they're worship leaders, some of them play keyboards, they love to sing, and they're just passionate about Jesus. And it was so awesome to be able to share with them some of the things that we've learned from Living Hope Family Church about worship, about our times with the Lord, small group stuff, and being able to just exalt the Lord with spontaneous song and with organized, structured worship environment and so forth. It was just beautiful. I got to thinking, what a privilege that we, this tiny little church in Cape Cod, should be able to export some of the things that God's taught us here to other countries of the world. God loves the flavor of worship at Living Hope Family Church so much that he said, hey, I want you to share some of that with these other guys in other parts of the world. And so I just want you to know, guys, I'm really proud of you all. And God really loves what he's cooking up here in this oven. And the fragrance of Christ is a beautiful thing. And so I'm really proud. And it was wonderful to represent you guys out there. Anyway, beautiful people. Street markets, we ate food in the street markets. And this is a kind of like, it looks like a cafeteria, but it's just a place where you can go and sit down. But all the food on the street markets is way better than any restaurant. And they have some pretty strange foods. A lot of spice. A lot of curry, but a lot of spicy things. And I just want you to know, you've never had a real breakfast until you've had spicy like ramen soup for breakfast. Yeah, I'm telling you. They call it Hokkien Mee, and it's kind of like noodles and broth, but it's got chicken cut up in it and stuff. I don't know what it is in there, I spilled it all over my shirt, I'm just going to say. I got in there, and I was like, you're trying to eat soup with chopsticks. It's inevitable that at some point this is going to end up on your shirt. So I was getting ready to go preach on Saturday night at the English-speaking service, and as I was finishing up my bowl of soup, I dumped it, literally dumped it all over me. So it was just bright orange on that blue shirt. Anyway, I was able to wash it out in the bathroom before I got on, but I went up to preach with a soaking wet shirt. So, nothing like that. Anyway, I heard that while I was away, one of my friends, a local guy here in town, preached the service with his fly open the whole time. So, I felt better about my... It's true, it happened while I was away, so God bless him. Anyway, so this is a beautiful couple I met. It's hard to believe it, but the guy, this guy with the dark hair, he is actually 40 years old. Isn't that crazy? He looks like he's 20. He and his beautiful wife, they're from Korea, South Korea, and he is a representative from a large IT like computer company that's like Microsoft, but over there it's as big, it's huge in Southeast Asia. And but the guy who owns it has set up a foundation, kind of like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, but all of the money from the foundation goes to Christian initiatives. And so this guy represents that company, and he's in charge of that nonprofit organization. And they were moving, they'd moved to Penang to do some missionary outreach, evangelistic outreach in a majority Muslim area where it's actually illegal to preach the gospel and to proselytize. So wanted to pray for these guys and just speak the blessing of the Lord over them. So Father, we just speak blessing over this young couple, and we thank you for them. We pray that you would give them strength and courage, that they would preach the gospel without any inhibition, and that you would give them great fruit for their labors. And Father, thank you for the invitation they gave me to come and preach in Korea. May you open up the door so that maybe some of us would be able to take up that opportunity. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anyway, so beautiful young couple. So I preached in on Saturday night to a group. This church is about 3,000 people, and they have 25 services on the weekend. So it's pretty crazy, and I got to preach in two of them. So thankfully, not all 25. So they have English-speaking congregations. They have Chinese-speaking congregations. They have Malay congregations. They have Indonesian congregations. They have just, you know, it's just amazing. They have campuses throughout the city, and their main campus is where I got to speak. And so on Saturday night, it was an intimate group, about 150 people. It's like Living Hope on a really, really full day. And so it was wonderful. I had the most amazing time with them, just sharing some real heart stories and encouraging them in their faith. And I tell you, there was this beautiful moment after the service when we had a prayer time, and a woman came up, and she'd been going through chemotherapy. She looked young. And she had no hair. She had a thing on her head. And she came forward, and she said to me, "Eric, the chemotherapy's really taken a lot out of me, and this cancer has been really demoralizing. But while you were speaking, God birthed such a hope in my heart that there's a purpose in this season, that I can still see fruitfulness in this season. I want you to pray with me." So I took her hand. We wept together. We just prayed together. And I felt the very presence of God in that moment in the most special way. I got to tell you, of all the things that I got to do on this two-week adventure, that was probably the most beautiful and profound and the image in my heart, it's just not going to go away. It's like God branded that in my spirit. Personal connection. You know, I said in here that I read you from Romans chapter 1, verse 16, where Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of salvation. It's the power to save." And I thought about this. There's people like Muhammad and Patricia who don't know Jesus. They have their own religions. They follow the teachings that have been handed down to them from their ancestors and their parents and their parents' parents. But Jesus knows them. They don't know him, but he knows them, and he knows that their lives are filled with a void. There's a void in there of true peace, a void of joy, a void of true life. There's religion, by all means. There's knowledge. There's dreams and aspirations. There's disappointment, all these things, but they need to be saved. There's salvation from frustration. There's the frustration of a life lived with no purpose. God wants to save them from that. God wants to save them from a life of devastation, disappointment. More than that, he wants to save him from an eternal disappointment, an eternal emptiness, an eternal void. For this girl that was standing in front of me with a cancer, God is there to save her even in the midst of what is a death sentence. And salvation was right there. Jesus was right there. I know she was a Christian, and I know that her faith was strong. But Jesus was just demonstrating that he's there to save even when all the circumstances of our lives seem to be against us. That's the power of the gospel. It brings joy in the middle of any storm. Any storm. And here's the power of that gospel. The gospel is this: God, who made you, loves you. And God, who loves you, knows that you cannot approach him because of your sin. And so he paid for your sin, so that he can welcome you into his presence. He took upon himself the punishment for your sin, so you could have access to him. God, who loves you, who made a way for you, has actually drawn near to you. And salvation has come to you. And so I just, as I stood with that woman and I prayed over her, I felt the power of the gospel there in that moment. You know, I also felt that God is there and he can work a miracle. He can heal her. I know many people who have been healed of many different diseases, life-threatening things. My own son has walked through miraculous healing in his life. All of us can point towards somebody. I mean, here sits Dave, who is a walking miracle. We have so many of us in this congregation. Doug Brown, a walking miracle. So many who have seen the hand of God at work. But whether he heals us or doesn't heal us, he's still here to save us. And salvation is that peace that surpasses understanding. And so, anyway, I just was so excited about that. Well, we got to visit some botanical gardens. That's a huge tree. Some of you who's followed me on Facebook saw me standing in the crook of that tree, kind of down in here. And you can just see my head sticking up above it. It's a massive, massive tree. Anyway, it's kind of fun. Here is the founding pastor of the church that I was preaching at in Penang. His name escapes me right this minute. Albert. Albert and his wife, Meng Eng is her name. Beautiful people. Absolutely amazing. This guy is a scholar. And he began to speak about a new thing. Now, he's no longer pastoring the church. He's actually, he left and did some ministry work somewhere else and then came back and started another church in the city. But wonderful relationships with everybody. And he started talking about this new movement where they preach the gospel through telling the story. And he told me the book. I bought the book so I could read it. But essentially what they do is instead of, you know, having these sermons where you're trying to teach theology and so forth, they actually tell the Bible story. They teach people to tell the story. Literally, you read Matthew, read Mark, Luke, and John. Can you tell the stories that Jesus told? Can you tell the stories the disciples told about Jesus? Well, these guys make an effort to learn those stories and to tell those stories, and it's in the telling of those stories that they're finding tremendous impact. The gospel is reaching into the lives of people and changing things, because the gospel isn't just theory. The gospel is about Christ coming into our regular, everyday lives and bringing transformation. It's amazing. Anyway, so I was very excited to meet them. Okay, here's an interesting picture. I visited a temple, a Buddhist temple. And that's the outside of the temple. There's a massive, great big dragon there. And some sort of a demigod sitting on the one side. And then there's this picture of the Buddha who's got his sort of multiple positions of his arms. But anyway, this is the outside of the temple. I visited this place and I thought to myself, I just want to go see. I want to see what these people are worshiping. I want to see what do they think they're going to find? So anyway, we went into the temple. You have to take your shoes off and in order to get in there. That building houses the third largest reclining Buddha in the world. And so anyway, this is the reclining Buddha. It's quite large. And so in front of it, you'll see all these sort of icons and also statues. And they're all gilded statues. And there are statues like this one. This is a statue of a monk. And that monk, you can see, is covered in gold. What happens is the worshippers will bring they'll bring gold leaf and a candle, and they kind of light the candle. Then they hold the gold leaf over the candle so it sort of melts, and then they stick the melting gold leaf onto that statue, and then they pray and so forth. And it's really quite bizarre, and some of them are quite grotesque. This guy over here is pretty grotesque. They're actually colored in his eyes. So it kind of looks really hollow and really weird to look at. Anyway, so as I was in there looking at this, I noticed this woman. See this woman over here? She is definitely not from Penang. She is definitely a Westerner. Can you see that? And she is bowing down. She's got her shoes off. She is bowing down on the mat that's provided. Here is the Wheel of Fortune. Okay. The Wheel of Fortune is not a game show. It's actually a wheel, and you put in a coin, and you spin the wheel, and it gives you your fortune. Anyway, she is obviously seeking something. And when I saw her, my heart I just felt the compassion of God come over me. And I said to myself, I'm going to talk to that girl about Jesus. So I did. I waited for her to come out of the temple because I wasn't, you know, I wasn't going to just stick the, I wasn't going to poke the hornet's nest and try and get, you know, Buddhist monks all kicking me out. I decided I'd wait for her outside. And so I waited for her outside in this little courtyard right here. And when she came out, I went up to her and I said, hi, you know, who are you? And so she said her name is Maria. She's from Italy. She'd been a Buddhist for about 3 years. She's on a little tour of the world. She was on her way to Bali, but she decided to stop in Penang, and she went there to try and find serenity. And here's what I got to thinking. As the psalmist says, even if I make my bed in the depths of Sheol, even there I'll find you, Jesus. Find you, Lord. And I thought, Jesus knew this girl. He knows this girl. He knows what she's looking for. He knows she's not going to find what she needs from those stone idols. But Jesus is not intimidated to be in the place where she's at. And so Jesus just showed up in the presence of Charlie and Eric. And there we were. So we started talking to her about the Lord. It's difficult to communicate because she's Italian, couldn't really speak English, but made it clear I was a pastor, and I asked her if I could pray a blessing over her. Actually, we spoke to her twice, two occasions. The first occasion, you know, we just spoke. It was kind of short, difficult to communicate, but it was just the introduction. And then a little later we saw her, and I'd been praying, Lord, give me another opportunity. And opportunity arose, and when we saw her, I said, listen, I need to pray for you. And we couldn't really communicate in English, and we don't speak any Italian. But as it turns out, Charlie speaks a little Spanish, and she could understand Spanish. So we ended up speaking. It's like speaking in tongues. It's great. And so we're talking to this Italian girl in Spanish in Penang, where everybody speaks Chinese. Just saying. And so there was no way that we were going to be kicked out because nobody had any idea what we were saying. And I got to pray a blessing over her. I held her hands. I prayed for her. And I thought, even though she's not giving her heart to Christ right now, the truth is, she spun the wheel of fortune looking for serenity, and serenity came and met her. And she's not going to forget that. And maybe it's just the next opportunity that, you know, some another Christian, maybe in Bali, there'll be a Christian surfer who's out there who's just full of Jesus and wants to preach the gospel. Who knows? Anyway, so that was that. This is a picture of Charlie Curtis and one of the founding elders of the church. This guy, just full of Jesus, man. I tell you, I had so much fun with this guy. We really, really made some great connections. This is the pastor, the new executive pastor of the church. He's also the preaching elder, and he's about 40 years old, and his name is Cohen. And Cohen is just being groomed up to become the pastor of the church, and he could certainly use our prayers. He's got a family with a bunch of small kids, and but man, this guy is excited about the Lord. And anyway, we had the opportunity. I met this guy. This guy was he was from Penang, House of Prayer, and we met him accidentally in the airport. We just ran into him. We were talking about Jesus. Here's this guy. He's talking about Jesus too. And we it turns out he's in charge of the Penang House of Prayer. So we just had this wonderful connection with him. Good guy. Anyway. So got to minister in the church a number of times, had some wonderful encounters with the Lord, got to teach their staff devotion on a Tuesday morning, really awesome time with the whole staff for the big church. And then I got to meet with the staff of the English-speaking churches and just really share some things with them and encourage them in the Lord. And it was so amazing. After we got done, it seemed like we couldn't move without an invitation to a tea, a lunch, a dinner, a coffee, a breakfast, or something. And boy, they like to eat in that place. And some of you know I'd been fasting for a few weeks before I got there, so it was hard to eat everything, but it was delicious. But the amazing encounters we had. And before I landed, received an invitation from the church saying, would you please come again next year? And we really want you to come. So an open invitation for us perhaps to maybe take a couple guys and sort of do a Paul and Silas trip next year or perhaps the year after to Penang. So anyway, that being said, we took a day trip to Singapore, got to meet some kids at that had been part of the others orchids, lovely kids that were part of the Bible school in Singapore. Filipino kids and young people, passionate for Jesus. Here's an interesting thing I learned. In countries, in some of the Muslim countries of the world, like Qatar or Dubai, some of the cities of the world where the gospel is really, it's hard to get in there and preach, the gospel is making a huge, huge impact, and it's making an impact through Filipino housemaids who are working for wealthy, wealthy, wealthy Arabs, and they're bringing the gospel right into people's homes. Isn't that awesome? And so if we will humble ourselves and be willing to take on the servant's garment, we can actually carry the gospel into places that kings can't even go. Isn't that amazing? Jesus taught us that. So anyway, this beautiful couple, Philip and Marina, they're from the church in Penang, and they just became really good friends. We got to go to Singapore and see some pretty cool things. See that building in the background there? Those three really tall buildings, and on top is like a giant ship. Isn't that amazing? Crazy architecture. And this was our ride. Do you like our ride? It was our Uber. No, I'm just kidding. Of course it wasn't our Uber, but you know all those racing games, Luke, like midnight racing games? Yeah, they were all set in Singapore with supercars. Well, it's true. They really have them there. So I had this one picture which I took. There's a supercar in the background and a flower in the front, and I call this one the glory of man. The glory of man is like the flower of the field. Yeah, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the fire. I tell you what, we put our trust in the wrong thing when we started trusting riches. Because riches make wings for themselves and fly away. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because the gospel holds its place. It has traction amongst the rich and the poor. The gospel is not just for poor people. The gospel is not just for rich people. The gospel is not just for Jews. The gospel is not just for Gentiles. The gospel is not for the old. The gospel is not just for the young. The gospel is across the board in any generation, in any culture, for any people, any time, anywhere, and for everybody. The gospel is life. Jesus Christ is life. And so this is the skyline of Singapore. Isn't that crazy? That's pretty wild, huh? Singapore is a crazy city. It's immaculate. It's like a utopia. When you go through customs, they have automated customs. You'll like this, Jason. When you come into Singapore, there is a custom official at your gate. But it's so casual. It's like you go in there, there's beautiful seats and plush carpets. It's like a massive artwork everywhere. You walk through and you smile at the guy and he says, put your finger on that little pad there. It takes your fingerprints. They do a facial recognition scan, some biometric stuff. And you can have some candy. They have candy for you as you walk through. The guy's like, help yourself, have some candy. Welcome to Singapore. On the way out of Singapore, you don't even meet the guy. You just walk up to the kiosk, and it's got the facial recognition scan. Just gets zzz. You put your finger on the little thing, and either the gate opens or it doesn't. And you may exit, or maybe you won't. And it was pretty crazy. They have very little crime there because they have facial recognition everywhere. If you commit a crime, it'll show up somewhere on a facial recognition scan, and they'll get you. So it was kind of bizarre. It was like, wow, all right, Singapore's upgraded. There were some passages in the book of Revelation that I was thinking about while I was there. Just like, okay. Anyway, we won't go into that now. Here's that building with the ship on top. Are you guys enjoying this, by the way? Is this a fun story? You guys feel like you're watching somebody's vacation videos? It's a church service. All of you who are watching online, I'm so glad that you're there, and I hope you're enjoying this because your story is coming up soon. Anyway, so here's Singapore, and there's that wheel in the bottom. You see that, and this is that building. But I want to just zoom in here real quick because can you see what that is? It's people washing the windows. It's people washing the windows. They're up there on ropes. They're hanging, rappelling from the building, washing the windows. Isn't that great? Woo. Yeah. So anyway, that's one of the buildings, and I didn't mess with that photograph. That's actually how the building is constructed. It's like that. It's kind of weird, but got to see some really beautiful flowers, and this is inside one of the biospheres. They have these all enclosed sort of biospheres where they have all different flora, and it's just absolutely beautiful, and they have these artistic displays. Anyway, there's a dragon here. You can check him out. Here he is. I'll show him to you. Can you see him? is the dragon. And here are the horses running away. See those horses running away from the dragon? There they are, all up there. I thought it was kind of a fun picture. Anyway, there's Philip taking a picture of the dragon. And this is a building. Inside the building, they have this waterfall. I'm just going to let you see the live portion of it. Yeah. See that? It's a waterfall. And this is people standing up there on that little thing. This is all inside the building. I went to take this photograph, and I obviously didn't realize that I was standing in front of some other people who were also trying to take photographs. So this little Chinese girl got really upset with me, and she was like, "I'm trying to take a photograph." I was like, "Sorry." Anyway, I did not preach about Jesus to her. So this mountain is all alive. I mean, all these plants are just growing up the inside of on the mountain. It's just really beautiful. Anyway, that's the living mountain. And we're a couple levels up already, but these strange things are actually walkways. Look, there's people up there walking on the walkway up there. And this is another walkway down the bottom. And it's just spectacular. So beautiful. And anyway, so, okay. I did actually have some kopi luwak. And for those of you who don't know what this is, I know you're going to be disgusted right now, but that is the most expensive cup of coffee. Well, now, as it turns out, the second most expensive cup of coffee, because I got robbed in China on my way through, apparently, on Wednesday. I bought a cup of coffee for $28. Didn't realize that, I guess. Anyway, this one was not quite that expensive. It was about $10 for this little espresso shot, pretty much. And for those of you who don't know, that coffee has been processed through the digestive tract of a weasel. So the weasel eats the coffee berries, and then you collect the poop, and you wash it, and then you roast it, and then you grind it, and you brew it, and then you drink it. Yeah. Woo! Doug Brown calls it Pippuccino. So I have officially tasted the Pippuccino. Anyway, there it is. It's true. For some of you, I have gained levels of estimation. For some of you, I have descended to the depths. Anyway, kopi luwak, there it is. So the food was pretty amazing. This is in Penang, but check out those prawns right there, those king prawns. These guys, oh my gosh, that is so good. Oh, it's so good. And there's chicken satay right there with peanut sauce and really delicious, yummy thing. So anyway, that was good. Okay, this is the girl I want to talk about. And hopefully she's actually checking in online right now. I don't know. But if you're there, Izza, it's really great to have you. And this story is about you. So on my way out of Penang, I'm heading to Taiwan. And we have to go through China again. Back to that same airport where I missed the flight the first time. So I get on the plane and I head there and I'm all fine and well. When I get there, I discover that the airline that I booked my ticket on was not actually the airline that took me there. They do a code share with some other airline, and some other airline carried me. And they have a code share for passengers, but they don't have a baggage agreement. So as it turns out, my baggage was all set to go through to Taiwan. Booked in on China Southern Airlines, but I took the flight on China Air, and my bags went on the China Air, but they unload them and they just leave them there in Guangzhou, and so I'm supposed to collect them and put them on another belt and get them to go where they're supposed to be, but of course, I don't have a visa for China, and baggage claim is on the other side of customs, and what do you call it, the passport entry, and so. And so my bags are going to get unloaded, and I won't be able to get them. So I went to one of the representatives, and I said, "Hey, I'm sure you've dealt with this problem before, but my bags, I'm supposed to collect them, and I can't get there." And they said, "Oh, why don't you sit here in quarantine?" They said, "Give me your passport and your boarding ticket, and we'll try to find your bags." And so they said, "It's going to take about 5 hours." So I said, "Oh, well, good thing I've got 5 hours and 15 minutes to make the flight." Because Yeah. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is unusual. And God must have something. And I actually posted it on Facebook at that moment. I was like, hey, you know, this is where I'm stuck. And I wonder what God has for me. And I look up from posting on Facebook and there's this girl. And she's sitting across the way. There's only two of us in quarantine. And it's me and Isabel. And she didn't have the green mask on at that time. So anyway, I start thinking to myself, well, I know why I'm here. I'm here for that girl. I'm here because God wants me to talk to her about Jesus. And so I said to her, hey, how you doing? And she went off, man. She was very upset. Turns out she's from Poland. She's 22 years old, and she is a model. And she models for agencies like Dior and some of these, you know, she does clothing and various other things. But she didn't look like a model when I saw her. And I said, you're a model, really? And she's like, don't be so surprised. She said, I've been in this place for 18 hours, and prior to that, I was stuck in New Zealand for 3 days. And she said, I had a job here in Guangzhou for 3 weeks, or in China, and I took my first vacation to go to New Zealand. And when I arrived at the airport in New Zealand, they would not let me in. And so they kept her, detained her in New Zealand for 3 days, as far as I understand, and then found every reason why not to let her into the country, and then just put her on a plane back to the last destination she came from. And so back to Guangzhou she went, and straight into quarantine. And she'd been in quarantine for 18 hours by the time I showed up. And so I said to her, well, you know, I hate to say this, but actually I'm probably the reason why you're in quarantine. And she said, what do you mean? I said, because God wanted me to meet you, and he wanted you to meet me. And she said, well, my boyfriend might not be so excited about that. I said, oh, don't you worry about that. Your boyfriend will be very happy because I'm a pastor. And she said, oh, okay. And so we started talking about the Lord. We started talking about her life. We started talking about her job, started talking about her boyfriend. She needed to smoke. She wanted to get out and smoke. She definitely wasn't happy that they weren't allowing her to do that. She had 3 or 4 packets of hamburgers, Big Macs and stuff, which is not usual for a model. And she's like, yeah, I know. It's the only food they let her take. And so she's sitting there with bags and bags of, you know, food, and her stuff is all over the floor. And she's like, could you watch my stuff? I just need to go to the bathroom. So she got up and she came back with this green mask on. And so I just thought that was hilarious. So anyway, she sat right next to me, started showing, you know, we were trading pictures, and we started talking about the Lord. And I started talking about how Jesus had made a difference in the lives of some of my friends. And I asked her, I said, you know, Isabel, who are you? You know, she said, I'm a coat hanger. I'm a walking coat hanger. And I said, you know, you're so much more than that. Everybody in the world wants a piece of you, but I want you to know that God came and brought me all this way to tell you that he doesn't want anything from you. He wants to give you himself. And the only thing that he wants from you is for you to surrender your heart. So we talked about that, and we talked about identity. We talked about Jesus as much as we could. She was on her phone a lot, as this younger generation always is. So it was kind of, you know, a long extended conversation was sometimes a little bit difficult because she kept, you know, texting friends and stuff, but she was listening to everything I said. I asked her if I could pray with her, and she said, right here? I said, absolutely right here. So we prayed together. And although Isabel didn't give her heart to Jesus right there on the spot, I have no doubt that God began to do a work in her heart. And Isabel, if you're listening right now, I just want to tell you, it's kind of brave because I have some distance, but I just want to tell you that Jesus not only loves you, but he died for you so that you could be free, so that you could have access to God, so you could have life and not eternal death. He came to bring you that life, and he loves you, and he wants you to know that it's going to take surrender on your part. And life comes through believing. And you may have heard a lot of things about Jesus. And you may have heard a lot of things about faith. And you may have had a lot of disappointments from people who said they were believers. But I want you to know that Jesus will never disappoint you. And the gospel is powerful and can save you. And one of these days, you're going to look back on all of this and say, that was the day Jesus stepped into my life. And he stepped in through Eric and through the friends that all jumped in on the Facebook. We posted this stuff on Facebook, and all of a sudden my mother was commenting, and my wife, my daughter, Doug Brown was commenting. Some of you guys here in church got on board, and you just started inviting Isabel, come on over to Cape Cod, and we just want to extend that invitation to you and say, come on over, we'd love to see you. But more than that, we want to see you give your heart to Christ, because without him, you really are lost. And you don't have to spend another minute lost. Today is the day when you can bow your knee and say, yes, Jesus, I believe. Show me who you are. So we got to pray together, and we got to have this conversation. Isabel's been very good on Facebook. She's been liking the rest of my journey, and she's been commenting on things here and there. As it turns out, we made friends with the customs official as well. His name was Chen, because I saw him 3 times, actually, over the course of 2 weeks. And Chen was kind of surprised when I saw him and called out his name. He wasn't expecting that. Across the hall, I was like, hey, Chen, how are you doing? He's like, who are you? He said, no, you organized me a hotel room a week ago. You know, here I am again. And anyway, and then a week later, I showed up again, and I was in that quarantine area again. This time, no delays, just going straight through. And I saw Chen. I got a selfie with him. I think I may have it. Well, we'll get back to some of these photographs. That was Angie and Olaf. But I'll show you a picture of Chen. This is Chen. There he is. It's me with Chen. I got all dressed up for this occasion. And I figured next time I'm in quarantine, I'm going to be dressed up. And I'll look like a pastor. So Chen was so excited. Actually, some of the other young people that work in the customs area and in this portion of the airport, they all came out because now I was making friends with all of them. And they were all taking pictures, and we were all taking pictures of each other in this place where no cameras are allowed. So I just thought this picture was kind of cool because it says to declare. Actually, the sign says nothing to declare, but I have a lot to declare. I want to declare that Jesus Christ is life, and he is life more abundantly. So we've got a lot to declare, and got the opportunity to share with these guys. How are we doing for time? Got a couple of minutes. Just want to show you a couple other pictures. This is a woman I met on the plane on my final flight home, and this is, again, in Guangzhou. She's a Chinese believer. We sat next to each other on the plane. Most of the ride, we were quiet. I didn't think that she understood any English. But as we were descending into the city, she leaned over to me and she said, you might want to put on a jacket. It's cold. It's like, oh, you speak English. And I thought I was going to sleep through this one. So I realized I had another divine appointment. So we started talking about the Lord. And we started talking. Of course, we're going to be talking about the Lord. But first of all, she said, what are you doing? Are you on a business trip? I said, no, actually, I'm a pastor, and I'm here to visit some people. She said, you're a pastor? I said, yes. She said, I'm a Christian. She looked around her like this. And she said, I'm a university professor. She teaches special ed, and she'd just done a stint in a Taipei university, a kind of a trade-off, teachers reciprocating thing. And she's on her way back to Guangzhou. She says, we meet every week for church. We do Bible studies. I read this devotion called Streams in the Desert every day. And she says, I love Jesus. I'm so excited to meet you. I told her I was excited to meet her. She said, I can't tell the Communist Party leader that I'm a Christian, because in order to be on faculty and all this kind of stuff, she has to toe the line and all this kind of stuff. But she said, but I'm a Christian and I love Jesus. And so she said, we sing songs every week. I said, oh, could you sing me one of those songs? She said, yes. We got on the tarmac right here, and just after I took this picture, she starts to sing a song. She was just humming the tune, because she didn't sing it out loud, but she's just worshiping Jesus with this tune. And I recognized the tune right away. As it turns out, missionaries who went over to China, I guess, 100 years ago or whatever, brought some of these tunes with them. And these are the tunes that she's singing in her church to give glory to the Lord, obviously with Chinese words and their own worship. But the melody was Joy to the World. And I thought, what a beautiful and appropriate song to be singing right now. Because really, truly, my whole trip was just one joy after the next. Even those circumstances that seemed like they were just a mess or a disaster or whatever, it turned out to be such joy. And that's the gospel, my friends. That is the power of the gospel. The gospel is Jesus brings joy into our lives because he is joy. Do you remember when he met that woman at the well and he said to her, listen, give me a drink of water. And she's like, why are you asking me for a drink of water? You're Jewish, I'm Gentile, I'm a Samaritan. And he said, listen, if you knew who was asking you, you'd ask me and I'd give you living water, because I've come to bring joy. I've come to bring life that doesn't go away. And she said, oh, yeah, okay, give me some of that then. And Jesus said, well, you know, bring your husband. Remember that story? And she said, oh, I don't have a husband. He says, oh, yeah, I know, you don't have a husband. You've had five already, and the one you have now isn't your husband. Jesus knows everything about our lives. This is the power of the gospel. He knows who we are. He knows where we are. He knows when we're going to be there. He knows enough for Maria, that Italian girl, to find Jesus in a Buddhist temple, okay? He knows enough to put the right people in the right place at the right time. He knows enough about your life to know that you're empty without him. And he loves you so much that he is going to intercept you on your journey to bring that joy. And for those of us who love the Lord and who have come to trust in the Lord and who have found that in surrendering our own lives and taking on this new life that Christ gives us, those of us who are in that place, I want you to know you have this kind of adventure knocking at your door every single day. It wasn't just on my trip overseas that this happened. When I got on the bus in Boston, I was so excited to get on that bus. My plane arrived. I got to the terminal at 6 a.m. The bus leaves at 6:15. Okay. At 6 a.m., I thought, "Think we can do this?" I got bags on the baggage claim that have got to come out, and I've got to get from the gate to the baggage claim and the baggage claim to the bus, and get on there by 6:15. I said, "Oh, come on, Lord, let's do this thing." So I go down. My bags are like the first ones to come off the belt. I grab my bags. I get out there, and it's 6:08. I got 7 minutes to spare. And so there's this guy who's just been spending, he's from Worcester, and he's spent his time in New Zealand doing some sort of adventure. And I'm standing there for 7 minutes while he takes a smoke outside waiting for the bus to arrive. And we start talking about Jesus. Because as it turns out, his brother is a pastor. Or a missionary. His brother and sister-in-law are missionaries somewhere. And they've done all this kind of travel like I've done. So we start talking about Jesus. I said to him, well, come on down. He works in a hotel somewhere in Worcester. And I said, well, you come on down to Cape Cod. And here's my number. Look me up. And I'll buy you lunch. Because adventure is waiting everywhere. The vehicle of the gospel is relationship. And if you're just brave enough to start talking to strangers, you never know what God has in mind for you. Because you're carrying the light. You know, we sang about it this morning. Shine, Jesus, shine. How's he going to shine? He's going to shine through you and he's going to shine through me. He's going to shine through the joy that we have in adverse circumstances. Like that girl with the cancer who may die, but her hope is in the Lord. She knows she has a future. She knows she has an eternal future with the Lord. And she also knows that God's got a purpose for her right now, even if it means that she's just going to hold her peace and maybe bring joy to somebody else in the hospital before she dies. That's life, people. That's the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel doesn't make all our problems go away. The power of the gospel gives us joy in the middle of our problems. That's what Jesus has come to give us. But you can't have it without him. It's not a philosophy that you agree with. You can't have it without him. You can't say, oh, I believe the teachings of Jesus, without accepting the person of Jesus. Because this isn't some skill you can master. This is a relationship with somebody who loves you. This is a cool picture of some rice paddies in Taiwan. Isn't that cool? I was on a train. We were moving. There you go. See that? This is Taipei. This is a city with one of the world's tallest buildings. See that building in the middle there? That's Taipei 101. You see that? It's 101 floors. I went to church in that building last Sunday. The church meets on the fourth floor. Their children's church meets on the 52nd floor. How would your parents like that? The church is one of those kind of high-tech churches. You can't get into the building because they have a lot of security issues in that building. So you can't just get into the building. You have to kind of have a reason for being there. So if you want to invite someone to church, you have to give them a QR code. You know what a QR code is? It's one of those little scanny codes that you scan with your cell phone. You've got to get the QR code, and when you arrive at the at the building, you've got to show your QR code and it scans it and then you can get into the building. And then when you get up to the floor where the church is, in order to get into the church, you have to show your QR code. And you can't get the QR code unless you got invited to church by somebody. Interesting. Now, you could actually technically go to the website, the church's website, and they'll give you the QR code, but you can only get four of them. Okay, because after four times of attending church, they want you to make a commitment. They say, listen, if you want to come to church, you're welcome to attend. But because we have a lot of people in this church who are, some of them are celebrities, and we know that a lot of people just come to church because they like want to take photographs with a celebrity, or they actually approach the celebrities in the middle of the service saying, hey, I've got a business plan. I've got a business idea. Could you maybe listen to that? And people are just trying to worship God. And so they say, listen, anybody is welcome in the church, rich or poor, but if you're going to come to church, you're going to come to church for Jesus. You're not coming to church for any other reason. So within 4 weeks, you should know whether you want to make a commitment. And then you get part of a life group, become a part of a small group in the church, and from that small group, you'll get a QR code that's good for you for the rest of however long you want to stay. And so it's like, wow, those people make some commitments, man. They had this beautiful service in there where, right, let me see if I can get that. Okay, so this is the church here. There's about 400 people in there, and they had this massive, great big screen on the back. It doesn't look so big in that picture, but lights and, you know, all kinds of, it was really fancy. It was like being at a rock concert, but they really, truly worshiped the Lord. It was beautiful. I watched people around me just weeping as they were worshiping the Lord, and I thought, that's beautiful. Service was in Chinese. I had to use headphones to get the interpretation. But they had a problem because they love to baptize. They want people to really make commitment to Jesus, but they don't have a baptismal font. They don't have any way of baptizing people in that building. So they came up with a creative way. They bring a massive, great big bowl of water, and the pastor stands with the bowl of water, or somebody stands next to him, and they've got these people lined up in their robes, baptismal robes, and then he just takes the water, and he just like slaps it on their head. And he puts his hand on their head and he prophesies over them. And then the whole church prays for them. And they have to give testimony of their commitment to Jesus in front of everybody. This one guy from central Taiwan, he and his wife had just come to the Lord 3 months before. And he and his family had been in politics for generations. Okay, he got up and he gave this testimony about how his wife came to Christ and then how he came to Christ because of his wife. And now 3 months later, he's standing in the church and wants to proclaim in front of everybody, I am a Christian, because he is not ashamed of the gospel. I was so moved by this guy. After the service, I went up to him and I just shook his hand. I took his hand, I shook his hand, I said, congratulations, my brother. And he turned to me in perfect English and he said, oh, thank you, brother, I love you. And he just took his arms and he wrapped them around me. It was amazing. It was like family. I've never met the guy in my life, but he's my brother in Christ, you know. Made a public declaration of his faith because he's not ashamed of the gospel. You know why? Because he was lost. And he knew it. And Jesus found him. And when Jesus found him, he had to make a decision. Do I want to carry on living my life the way I used to live? Emptiness, frustration, and death? Or do I want to believe and trust Jesus and take that wild, crazy risk and adventure and say yes to him, maybe at the expense of my relationships, maybe at the expense of my family, maybe at the expense of my career? It doesn't matter. I know Jesus is alive, and I know that he is life, and if I am in him, I will be alive, and nothing else will ever satisfy me again. And he made that declaration in front of everybody. And the pastor took the water and just slapped it on his head. I thought, we might do that at Living Hub in the wintertime. In the summertime, I'm dunking you in the ocean, you know? But in the wintertime, you want to get baptized, we'll get creative about that. We'll just take a bowl of water and dump it on your head right here. Put some plastic on the floor, Joe. The ice bucket challenge. I was so blessed. Guys, that's pretty much the end of my story. I mean, there's more I could tell you, but if I do, I think you guys it might just be too much. I just want to say, in closing, that I'm grateful for the opportunity. I'm grateful for those of you who prayed for me while I was away. I'm grateful for your support and for your encouragement. I'm grateful that I get to be a representation of, you know, a servant of the Lord in his harvest. But I don't want to be the only one. I want you to be a part of it with me. And we don't have to travel far away for it to happen. We can do it right here. I told you about that bus. I got on that bus after meeting that guy. And as I got on the bus, I said to the bus driver, "Man, you are a sight for sore eyes. I'm so glad you're here." He was kind of grumpy. Other people on the bus were like, "He's grumpy today." But Jeff wasn't grumpy. He just wanted to talk. So we talked about Jesus in front of the whole bus, all the way home from Boston. And Jeff is my new friend. And he's going to give me some of his vegetables this summer, Scott, because he likes to grow vegetables.
Competition, huh?
Competition, buddy. That's right. I told him he can make me some eggplant parmesan that he grew in his own yard, right? And maybe one of these days we'll even see Jeff at church. Who knows? But Jeff knew that I was a pastor, and he didn't mind. He started talking about his divorce and about raising kids as a single parent and all kinds of stuff. And it's, you know what? People just, they need Jesus. Jeff needs Jesus. Wenga, the Christian Chinese girl who loves Jesus so much, who sang Joy to the World, she needs Jesus, and her friends need Jesus. Patricia and Muhammad need Jesus. Isabel needs Jesus. The Dutch guy that I met. You remember I preached out of that Dutch Bible, Jason? I told you I was reading my Bible in Dutch. God doesn't miss a trick, not a single trick. Because who should I meet in one of the airports standing online to get on the plane but a Dutch businessman? So I start talking to him in Afrikaans, and he's talking to me in Dutch. He says, "Hey, we can understand each other." I said, "Yeah, I read my Bible in Dutch." He says, "You read your Bible?" I said, "Yeah, in Dutch." He said, "Why do you read it in Dutch?" I said, "I like the language. It's just beautiful." He says, "Well, tell me about some of that." So I did. And then I made a business connection for him because he's in plastics, or actually resins, and trying to do biodegradable, you know, green friendly stuff. And I have a friend in Africa who farms biodegradable plant fiber stuff for Mercedes-Benz and BMW. And so I connected the two of them. Great. Isn't that great? He'd never heard of it. He was so excited. What? They have biodegradable injection molding, you know, it can stand up to all the stuff. I said, "Well, Mercedes-Benz is building the dashboards of their car from the stuff, so it must be pretty good." So we made the connection. But you know what? God doesn't miss a thing. My beloved friends, you carry the light of Christ inside of you. So shine. There are a few things that can really hamstring you. If you get selfish, if you get prideful, if you're moved by lust, all you can think about is yourself, yeah, no adventure for you. But if you can serve, and you can surrender, and you can love, and you can be humble and patient, and maybe even kind and a little bit generous, there's an adventure waiting for you that you've never even imagined. It's right here, and it's on the other side of the world too. Come, let's go together. Let's carry the light of the gospel of Jesus to people who are lost, because the gospel is able to save. Would you pray with me?
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. You're here. And if anybody's listening right now, you're with them too. Papa, I pray that in this congregation and whoever's listening to this sermon, you will touch their hearts right now. Faith is a decision, my friends. It's a choice you make. Jesus has invited you to come to his table, but you have to accept the invitation. If you do not accept the invitation, you will miss the meal. It's more than that. It's eternal life. You must accept. Today, I want to invite you to pray a prayer of acceptance with me. A prayer that says, "I surrender. I believe. If there's anybody in this congregation or anybody listening who wants to accept the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ, pray this prayer with me right now. Heavenly Father, I am lost. I am a sinner. And I deserve your judgment. But I have heard that Jesus Christ has paid the price for me. Jesus, I believe. I give my life to you. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me. Make my heart new. From this day forward, let me be a son or a daughter of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.